From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of April, 2025. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets and trade across the planet with Greg Johnson from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com, the elevator owned by FS here in Champaign County. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. With him, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the Northern Hemisphere, recap the rainfall we've had in the Corn Belt and parts of the Southern United States, the impact it's having. And Drew looks forward to an analogous year, 1968. I think you'll find that of interest as well. We'll do all of that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $4.72. That was 3¾ cents lower. July at $4.79¼, down 4. And December new crop, 3½ cents lower at $4.54½ for the corn. May beans at $10.40¼, up 5¼. July soybeans, $10.50¼, 4¼ higher. And new crop November at $10.27½, up 1 cent. Bean meal futures down $1.10. Bean oil, 33 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat in the July at $5.43½, down 6¾. The hard red July at $5.50¼, 8 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago settled at $208.10, $1.82½ higher. Feeder cattle at $292.17½, up 92½ cents. And lean hogs for 100 pounds at $100.15, 12½ cents lower for the day. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, right here in Champaign County at the elevator owned by FS, now joins us on this Wednesday to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good to be with you, Todd.
Farmers were out of the field for just a bit, but they've made quite a little bit of headway in our area, I believe. What do you think has been done? And you can look back at the Monday USDA report if you want to.
Yeah, the state numbers weren't real good. We've done more in the north where it's been drier here in the central part of the state. We've had a few days where we stopped and started and got a little bit done. And then in the south, very, very little has been done. And so once again, we get a couple of days here today, tomorrow, and then rain comes in Friday. So then we might sit on our hands for a little bit. So by the time the rains come in this weekend, I think here in central Illinois, we could be 20% done on corn, 40% done on beans. But that's just here in Champaign County, East Central Illinois. I think when the numbers come out on Monday for the entire state, we'll only see an increase. Last week or this week, we were at 7% planted on corn. That might be up to 15% for the state. And then beans were at 10% for the state. That could be 25%. But and both those numbers are slightly ahead of normal. So nobody's pushing the panic button as far as planting delays yet. In fact, it's been so dry and still is dry in a lot of areas that I think some farmers would actually welcome the rain, even if that means not getting the beans and corn planted quite as quickly as what they would otherwise.
Over the past few trading sessions, soybeans have managed to make some gains. Why do you suppose that's the case?
Part of it is the dollar is a lot weaker. On days when the stock market gets hit and we think the economy is going to slow down, the dollar has really taken a hit. But then there's also inflationary talk about as a result of the tariffs, if that continues to happen. So both of those would be somewhat friendly for soybeans. There is some talk here today that the U.S. and Chinese are getting along better. You know, one day that talk is positive, the next day it's not. So today's one of those positive days. And so that may be one reason why the beans are up a little bit. But we have to remember, too, fundamentally, a lot less bean acres getting planted at 83.5 million acres of beans versus 95.3 million acres of corn was the intention. So that keeps the stocks number pretty tight on beans until we see whether we plant more bean acres or what kind of yield we could attach to that. So, you know, all those uncertainties probably are a little bit supportive of soybeans. Plus, they didn't rally near as much as when corn was rallying. So it didn't have near as much to give back. You know, the corn starting to give back a little bit, but as we get it planted, but the beans never did rally as much as the corn did, so obviously it doesn't have to go down quite as much.
From your perspective, what does demand look like for soybeans at this point?
We're slightly better than what the USDA is using for export to meet the USDA's export projections. So basically, we're right on target. So it all boils down to, will China buy what they normally buy from us in the fall? And that's still too far away to put a number on. So at this point, I guess you just assume that we're going to hit the USDA's export target and no more, no less. And obviously that'll change, but it'll change based on the talks between the U.S. and China as far as tariffs are concerned, because if they don't get that resolved, China's going to do all in their power to buy as many beans as they can from South America and only buy what they absolutely have to from us, unless this trade tension gets resolved.
So in the May report, USDA for old crop and new crop will have to take the policy in place into consideration. That probably throws a zero in new crop, at least I think for a while. I don't know. Then with old crop, they don't really import at this time of the year from the United States, other than what they've already purchased. I suppose, though, that they could cancel shipments. Do you think that will happen?
Not as many as in past years. So, yes, they could cancel some, and that would be a little negative. But I think there's so much uncertainty from day to day, let alone from month to month, that my best guess is the USDA just leaves those numbers alone for another month. And, there's always time to change them down the road. But unless they've got some, privy to some inside information that nobody else seems to know about, I don't know how you can project what China is or isn't going to do.
Yeah, I wonder about that, because they will use the policy that's in place. So if there's a tariff in place, they'll use it regardless of any potential changes. They have told us that, and they say they will use it unless there's an end date on it. They will use it all the way out. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks. Corn demand, still good?
Yes, corn demand is still good. Mexico continues to still buy corn. Colombia, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, all very good. There's several theories about why that export pace has been so good. Some people say front running ahead of the potential tariffs that may or may not take place in 90 days. But regardless of the reason, exports have been good. We're well ahead of schedule. And some traders were looking for USDA to up the export number last month and still think that it could get increased again. But at the very least, we don't look for any reductions in exports. So carry out is 1.3, 1.4 in that category for old crop corn, but then you throw the extra 4 to 5 million acres of corn in a normal yield, and all of a sudden your carry out for the new crop is closer to 2 billion bushels than the 1.3 or 1.4. So we've got very tight, well, I don't want to say very tight, we have tight old crop stocks, but potentially we'll have plenty by the time we get to this fall.
So the hope would be, I suppose, that the export number would be increased to take a couple of hundred or 50 million or whatever it is they increase exports by if they do off of the carryout this year and try to whittle down next year's carryout as well would be helpful over time. What are farmers asking if they're calling at this point? And my guess is they're asking, how's everybody else doing compared to me on the planting pace? But if they're calling, what are they asking about at this point?
All focus right now is just on getting the crop planted, and that's what they're doing. We haven't talked about it today, but we've talked about it in the past. There are forecasters out there talking about dry, hot, dry conditions, certainly, maybe not hot, but certainly dry conditions later on this year. And if you look at a soil moisture map, northern Illinois, Iowa, the Dakotas are still well below normal on moisture. So that's great for now. It allows them to get the crop planted, but they just don't have any moisture in reserve. And so they're going to rely on some timely rains or a change in the pattern. So there's enough uncertainty about what their crops are going to do that, this market hasn't really wanted to sell off very much. And the farmers just haven't had much reason to want to sell. new crop corn because it hasn't rallied as much as the old crop corn has. So farmers are content, I think, to wait. And if they've waited till mid-April, they're probably going to wait till June, July and see what the forecast and the weather looks like then before they make any more sales.
And before I let you go, basis for old crop recovered from the hard pressures that came in the big sales time during the winter months?
Yes. Yes, they have. They continue to improve. The demand in the east seems to be better than the west. And so we can hit the eastern market as well as the Gulf. So our basis has gotten better. And it seems like everybody else is here in central Illinois. Basis has gotten better, too. So, yes, corn basis is better. Bean basis slightly better, I think more in sympathy with the corn basis getting better than anything else. But farmers, we're probably not as good as we were a year or two ago at this time, but certainly better than we were back in January and February when we had the big rally. Farmers, it was basically like a second harvest. Farmers were selling so much that basis levels had to drop to try to slow that movement down and to get farmers and elevators to store that crop. And once that farmer selling stopped in mid-February, then the basis has been improving ever since.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. While you're in the tractor cab, just a quick reminder of the resources available from University of Illinois Extension. You can check out the willag.org website, of course, where you'll find a combined RSS feed. That's just an article feed that pulls from the crop scientist, the ag economist, and the animal scientist at the University of Illinois. Puts it all there right in one easy-to-use click-and-read place. That's at willag.org. Of course, you can always go to the FarmDoc website as well at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And you can check out the FarmDoc YouTube website at youtube.com/@FarmDoc for the latest in videos from the FarmDoc team. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the growing regions across the planet. Hello, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Hope you had a great holiday weekend.
It was a magnificent holiday weekend. Thank you very much. Let's recap some of the rainfall, speaking of the holiday weekend, that fell across the Corn Belt and the southern part of the United States and the issues that it has created and where maybe there hasn't been as much rain as well.
Yeah, well, you know, for the most part, we do have a lot of moisture around in quite a few areas. But one of the things that has been happening here recently is we've been seeing some upper 70 and 80 degree temperatures when it hasn't been raining. And that is a very important thing to keep in the back of our minds. It doesn't take that long to dry out the soil when we are that warm. And it does look like temperatures will be near to above normal through a big part of the next 10 days. And maybe longer. So I think once we shut down some of the rain, we might be able to do a little bit better. But it will be a matter of patience here. We do have or have had quite a bit of rain across a big part of the country in the last week or so. In some areas, too much moisture, certainly in parts of Oklahoma and Missouri. We've had some new flooding occurring in some of those areas. We have managed to keep the southeast corner of the country a little dry by us. That would be Florida into parts of southern Georgia and then into a portion of the Carolinas. And then we still have the flooding that's going on along the rivers in the lower Ohio River Basin area down through the Delta. And there's a lot of low-lying areas that still have standing water and or are exceptionally muddy. And the problem with that is that even though we haven't had much rain recently, we've got more rain on the horizon. And so these areas will not have enough time to dry down and get anybody into the fields. And instead, we're probably going to pick up another, a half to maybe an inch and three quarters, maybe 2 inches of rain by the time we get to the middle of next week. It doesn't come all at once, but it doesn't matter. When it's this wet, every little bit hurts, and it's just going to prolong the field working delays. Now, we did see some nice increase in moisture up across Minnesota, I should say southeastern Minnesota and Wisconsin and eastern Iowa, helping to whittle down some of the moisture deficits there, and that was a good thing. And all this kind of looks a little bit like it did in 1968 when we also saw the upper Midwest get wetter as we move through the month of April, at the same time we had this wet bias in the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin and Ohio River Basin areas with a little dryness in between. But we are kind of easing some of that dryness in between these areas, so it's not a bad scenario. I think everyone just needs to be a little bit patient, and about a week to week and a half from now, we will see a lot more sunshine and warm temperatures to help promote field work.
You know, you can't whip out an analogous year at this time of year. Not tell me what the summer and final crops look like. What did 1968 look like in the summertime for the Midwest?
Yeah, you know, it is a dangerous thing to do. But 1968 turned out to be a fairly good year in the plains and in the western Corn Belt, even though they were dry in the winter and early spring. There was a timely rain event that occurred, actually just timely rains in general that occurred through the late spring and into summer. And a lot of those areas ended up doing very well with alternating periods of rain and sunshine with a near to above average precipitation, the greater precipitation being in the north, the upper Midwest and the northern plains. There was a tendency, though, during the summer for a drier bias to evolve in 1968 across some of the lower eastern Midwest and the Tennessee River Basin, part of the northern Delta, and down to the Gulf Coast, central Gulf Coast. And if you stop and think about it, you know, every time we get into these exceptionally wet biases, there is a tendency to switch the other direction later in the growing season. So to a certain degree, that all kind of makes sense that something like 1968 might occur. But if you're concerned about a broad-based drought across the country, I don't think this is going to be the year for that, especially if we continue to improve the moisture profile in the plains and western Corn Belt.
Speaking of the plains, what do they look like in the western part of the Corn Belt and the plains at this point, and what does rainfall look like across the whole of the belt in the next 7 to 10 days?
Yeah, for the western Corn Belt, certainly a nice bit of improvement taking place here. We've moistened up the topsoil in many areas, but not so much in the eastern Dakotas. Some of the western counties in Minnesota still need some greater amounts of moisture. And that is true all the way back to the southwest through Nebraska and into parts of the High Plains region. For the rest of the western Corn Belt, we're doing fairly well. Like I said, Missouri's had a lot of rain. Eastern Kansas is catching up really quickly, and even parts of Iowa. The northwest part of Iowa, though, still needs some greater amounts of moisture. Well, the next 7 to 10 days will likely promote, at least in the first week of that period, will promote additional moisture. We'll probably see amounts 3/4 inch to 2.5 inches, really across a big part of the Midwest. There may be a little band from parts of Missouri across Illinois into western Michigan that might get a little lighter precipitation and may come up a little bit drier at the end of that period than the rest of the region. But they've got some room to spare, I think, at least parts of that region. The days 8 through 11, actually all the way through the second week, I think we'll probably see less frequent and less significant rain and have near to above normal temperatures. And so that's why I say we may have ourselves a much better environment for field work at that time.
Turn your attention to Europe now. What kinds of conditions are there?
You know, Europe looks really good right now. But with that said, there is still moisture deficits down deep into the ground across the eastern part of the continent. And, you know, I kind of call this a sleeping dog. Everything looks fine, but just below the surface, there is a dryness issue. It's actually down a little bit deeper than that. But my point here is that if we get into a ridge of high pressure Eastern Europe for a week or 10 days, it will not take long for the dryness to come to the surface, and we'll start hearing folks talk about that. So we need to keep an eye on that region. Right now, the drier tendencies in the Baltic Sea region, that'll be Poland and parts of Eastern Germany, and from there into Belarus and southward into Ukraine. And much of that region could turn drier. At the moment, it looks pretty good, but we are seeing the ground firming up in Ukraine and Russia's southern region right now, which is a reversal of the trend that we saw in the previous 10 days. The rest of Europe, I think, is going to be in tip-top shape for a while. Later in the spring and summer, I think Western Europe will probably dry down a little bit and heat up.
We haven't checked in on the growing regions of China yet this season. Tell me about those, please.
Yeah, for China, another issue, another dryness issue seems to be prevalent there. It's not an extreme situation at the moment, but we do want to watch it pretty closely. I think that the Yellow River Basin in the North China Plain, they're pretty dry right now. It's been kind of warm. I don't think that's a real big issue because it's still the dry season, so to speak, there. And they do irrigate, of course, their winter crops. So it's not a huge issue at the moment. Now, areas between the Yellow and Yangtze Rivers, which would be the what I call East Central China, there is an official drought underway, according to the Chinese Meteorological Agency. And it has been drier than usual there. And we do not expect to see rain for the next couple of weeks in that region. And it will be warmer than normal. So I think we need to kind of keep an eye on China. Nothing would be better for these folks that have been hit by the tariffs from China, like Canada, if they ran into a problem on drought and production potentials. That could really change the bottom line for a lot of folks. So it's worth watching. I don't want to sound like I'm advocating a drought there, but it is drier biased, and we do need to watch what happens over these next few weeks.
And finally, the one place on the planet that seems to be in really good shape still are the growing regions for safrinum, or second crop corn.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of us were very concerned about where we were going to be when we got to the 1st of May, and it's nothing close to what we thought. We were concerned it was going to be quite dry. We thought the monsoon would end in mid-April and we'd already be drying out, but it's been raining and it's going to continue raining for another week. We're going to get to the 1st of May and we're going to have saturated soil conditions. We are seeing signs that the monsoon is going to end, though, very soon, probably in that last few days of April and early May. But with the amount of moisture that has occurred here recently, we should see that safrinha crop go through at least the first 3 weeks of May without much of an issue. If there can be some timely shower activity later in May and keep the temperatures in a seasonable range, there's still a potential that the crop may do better than what a lot of folks think. I think we'll still lose a little yield just because the crop was so late going in, but it's better than what a lot of people were worried about.
Hey, thank you much.
Have a great day and a good week.
Hey, you too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You may hear the whole of the program again anytime you'd like. You can do that from our website. Just click and play from willag.org, willag.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast. That can happen from the website as well. Hit the podcast tab and then subscribe under the Closing Market Report player, or you can just search out the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast applications. Thank you for listening. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.